This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's gearing up for the Olympics Wednesday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from, I'm at Flags Up Farms in Southern California. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 3rd, episode 1486, brought to you by our listeners, the auditors. Thank you. Good morning, horse world.
It's Wednesday. Today is Wednesday.
He's a very mixed up horse.
Authorization acknowledged.
You know what they say about Wednesday.
Have a good Wednesday. Thanks.
Okay, let me tell you a little story. I have been living in Phoenix in the desert where it is 115 degrees and it's been humid. It's just been awful. And, I maybe can ride one horse a day, you know, one horse in the morning and that's it. And that's not even every day because show days, it's hard for me to get out there early enough because the show ends and then it's hot. So I've been maybe riding, let's honestly say 4 days a week, four horses a week. Well, I got here on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, I've ridden both my Mustangs every day. So that's six rides in, let's see, today's Wednesday. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, six rides in 3 days. I cannot sit here comfortably. I am so sore. It is unreal.
Don't they have massage people at Flag Is Up Farm on Beck?
They
call?
Need a masseuse here. Debbie, we want a masseuse. I am so incredibly sore. I'm bracing myself on this chair. And as soon as we're done with the show, by God, I'm going to ride another one and then ride another one at the end of the day. It's going to happen. And I'm just going to have to push through. But just wanted to let you know that if you hear me moving around a lot, it's because I can't sit still because it hurts. Like I go to cross my legs and I have to actually use my hands to pick up my pants, I mean, smooth side jeans, and like pull it over across because I have lost complete control.
But the weather's good. You're not in 115 degrees.
Oh my gosh. If that's the only complaint I have, this weather is amazing. I'm really cold in my trailer at night and I couldn't be happier. I have giant blankets. I've got the windows open. I mean, I'm staying in my horse trailer where everybody
all
else.
All that coolness for when you have to go home.
if only I could save it up and store it in the trailer with the horses in the back and I'll put the cold in the front and it would just be great.
You know, there's a reason people live in California, despite the prices and the taxes and everything else that goes along with living in California. It's really nice weather.
It's amazing. This is the 1st of August, and I'm just, it's so nice. And apparently there's going to be a big meteor shower the 11th, 12th, and 13th, and I'm still going to be here, and I'm in the middle of nowhere, and I'm excited.
Cool. You can just sleep on the roof of your trailer and look up.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, if only I could stay awake till dark. That's my other problem, sitting tired. But everything's here is amazing. And we're going to talk a little bit more about it coming up. But let's go to Jennifer and find out what's coming up on today's show.
On today's Wacky Wednesday edition, once Jamie has given us her wrap-up of day one at Monty's special training, live from Flag Is Up Farm, Haggard Horse Health is going to stop by with an overview of what we need to know about weanlings, their health, of their joints. And then galloping to the finish line, Ed Dabney is going to be here. That's right, the guy who plays War on the hit TV show
War
Sleepy Hollow.
War is coming to Horses in the Morning.
That's right, so stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Woohoo!
Hey, it's not every day we have a guy with a flaming sword on the show.
I mean, really. I think he's actually a horse trainer, too, but like all that
But who cares about all that stuff? Yeah. I mean, it's been in the movies. That's what I want to talk about.
The movie star.
That's right. Oh, I have a several-part Daily Winnie here, but we'll start with a happy birthday.
Happy birthday
That's right. It is Auditor Sarah Thompson's birthday. Brand new Auditor Sarah Thompson's birthday. So happy birthday to Sarah. And I wanted to give a thank you to Rachel Rosenthal, another auditor. She helped us record our happy birthday episode, our eighth birthday on Stable Scoop yesterday. She hosted and turned the tables on Helena and I, got a whole bunch of questions from the listeners, and she asked us the questions, which, by the way, Jamie, is nerve-wracking. God, that's harder than hosting.
Were you nervous?
I was like, this is wrong. We don't answer the questions. We ask the questions. So that was different. I see what the guests go through now, and they have to put up with us.
So how did you like it?
It was fun. I mean, we had a good time. They had some good questions and some thought-provoking ones. And of course, you know, then Helena gets all philosophical. But it was good. We had it'll be out on Friday.
And what were you wearing? And who were you wearing? See, I'm trying to ask questions of you.
Yeah. You don't want to know, and you don't want to know. But the first question she did ask is, what's your favorite color underwear? And I don't know where that came from. I don't know which listener asked that question. But also, I wanted to mention and congratulate our friend John Kyle. You might recognize that name from Rolex and many other events, who's announcer extraordinaire from England. He is going to be doing the announcing at the Olympics on the grounds. So he'll be doing his thing there. He's so good at that. He's one of the best out there. And one of the cool stories that's coming out of this Olympics on the equestrian side is that he will be announcing for his brother Mark, who is going to be in his third Olympic appearance for Ireland on the eventing team. He's 43 years old. He was at the Olympics in Athens with Drunken Disorderly, and in London with Coolio. And this actually in London, the Irish team placed fifth, which is pretty good for the Irish team. So he'll be announcing for his brother. So that's kind of cool. And what I didn't know, and I've known John for a long time, what I didn't know about John is that his parents were both eventers. So it's kind of the family business.
Very cool.
It's very neat. So I'm excited about that coming up. It's always good to hear his voice.
I'm going to give my Daily Whinny to a very special little pony, and his name is Hogan. And Hogan is the halflinger that I brought out here to Flag Is Up Farms because he has massive behavior disorders.
Has he gone, I'm out of here, crashed the gate, and is running back to Arizona?
Well, that's the funny thing, is he kind of already acted like that. So he would just crash the gate. So yesterday, Monty says to me, you know, we're kind of working horse after horse after horse after horse. And he's like, you know, Jamie, get the pony. So I'm like, okay, I jump up and I go to get the pony and I bring it up and everybody's like, oh my Lord, he's so cute. You know, and they didn't see the fact that I was water skiing out of the stall after I got the halter on him and he's dragging me halfway down the barn aisle when I take him out. Yes, exactly. He's like, a great ski-joring horse. So I take him in the round pen and I go to walk in the door. And, you know, these round pens are it's kind of on the ground and then there's a seating area above them. And so Monty's sitting at one end of it with all the people. And I go to take the pony in and everybody's talking and I walk in, I'd be, oh my God, he's so cute. And then the pony becomes the pony and starts dragging me around and pulling me. And Monty stands up, he goes, that's not a pony. That's a bulldozer. I think the pony show name has to change. Anyway, so I spent the next 20 minutes. So I thought I was going to hand him off. You know, here you go.
Here you go, Monty.
This is the Monty show. Oh, no. Put a helmet on. No, please, no. I can't. I'm tired and I'm sore. And you want me to train this pony? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to talk you through it. So Hogan and I spent some extra special time together yesterday. And let me just tell you that his brain got bigger. And he is probably very tired. So I'm sure he slept well. And not that he worked that hard. It's that his brain probably was really thinking really hard about what he learned. And we're going to follow it up today. So the pony that won't lead, won't stand still, won't pay attention, just is like a pinging nightmare. By in like 10 to 12 minutes, was standing facing me 15 feet away, not moving a muscle.
Huh.
It was unbelievable.
Oh, that's cool.
It was great. They videotaped it. So if I somehow get a copy of it, I'll let you guys know. It was hard. It was not easy. That pony is strong. But
overnight Scooter to you by UPS, do you think?
Oh, my gosh. I could fix Scooter in a second. He's a lot lighter than this dang 4,000-pound halfling.
The more important question is, can I overnight Glenn to you by FedEx? I'll put an ice pack in the box so he doesn't overheat. We'll get him right out there.
To put the holes in the box, yeah. Yeah, it was really interesting. So we will let you guys know kind of how that happened. And don't leave home without a dually halter ever. Get a dually halter. It does.
Better savior for my pony, let me tell you.
Yeah, but if your pony does this, I was shocked. And we'll talk a little bit more about the horses that we did see yesterday. But just, you know, we've got horses here that for this program, Monty Special Training is awesome. If you guys can ever come to one, come to this one, because you get to see everything. And it's all like his concepts on how it works. And they work. You know, it's like we saw a horse yesterday. Do you want me to get started on this, or you want to talk
about that? Before you do that, let's talk about one quick thing. The big news from yesterday that I must have had shared with me 5,000 times is that Mark Bellissimo, a managing partner of Trion Equestrian Partners, confirmed that the Trion International Equestrian Center near Asheville, North Carolina, is working with the USEF, the United States Equestrian Federation, to try and get the games to come to Trion. Now, a couple of people have brought this up over times, and I've always poo-pooed it, saying I don't think they have the infrastructure in place. They claim they do. They have done... they've done basically about $150 million worth of renovations at that park, or $125 million over the last 2 years. It's 1,500 acres. It is in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. Now, there's an airport about an hour away, and I would say the airport's about the size of Lexington or Louisville, maybe. The venue has 1,200 permanent stalls, so it certainly has a number of stalls, 12 competition arenas, a lighted international arena that seats 6,000, expandable to 12, multiple VIP areas, a large covered indoor arena that seats 5,000. I did not know about that. I didn't know they had the big indoor, which is required for reiners and for vaulting. So I wasn't aware they had that. It has a cross-country course. We talked about that. Apparently, they're just finishing that, and they're holding the American Eventing Championships here there in the fall. So we'll find out more about that. The Pony Clubbers weren't able to use it. I don't know what the whole story was last weekend from that. But the one thing they do have, and the one thing that's always an obstacle when you put on a WAG, is you have to have the 100 miles of trails for endurance. And they have that because they do an endurance race at the Biltmore that starts at the Biltmore in Asheville, the big mansion there in Asheville every year. So they kind of have that locked up too. The other concern that I had, and they address it in the article, is that is hotel rooms, because you have to have the infrastructure, hotels and food and, you know, restaurants and all of that to handle the influx. And he says there's 60,000 hotel beds within 60 miles of the venue. So they're confident about that. One thing I will say, and we're trying to get Mark Bellissimo or one of his representatives on the show on Friday. I've been having emails back and forth. Of course, after this press release hit, they've been inundated. The governors of both states, so North Carolina and South Carolina, are on board. Apparently, the USEF is on board. The one thing that they have and that they're very good at, because you got to remember, this organization runs the shows in Wellington over the winter. They have Trion. They have the Colorado Horse Park. They do the Central Park shows in New York City. Is one, they've got money. They're funded by someone. I'm not quite sure who, but there's a lot of money behind this. And the other one is that they have 130 sponsors already. So they probably have more sponsors than any horse show organization in the world. And they run more competitions than anybody in the world. So they know how to do this stuff. And he seems to, when he wants to, get stuff done, even fighting with the Wellington Planning Commission over the years. He's gotten it done. So we'll see. I didn't realize that his organization they have 150 full-time staff as part of the Trion Equestrian Partners and 1,000 part-time employees. So it's a big organization. And I would say that if anybody can get this done, he can. And by the way, he's also the one that owns the Chronicle of the Horse now. So there you go. There's the update. And we're trying to get somebody on Friday to discuss it further.
Let's get him on.
Well, we're trying. We're trying to get him on. We'll see how that goes. We know the people that work with him have been, Jennifer has been on the show many times with Emily. And so I've been talking to her, and they're going to try and get somebody on Friday. Of course, again, they got inundated with media requests right after this. But that's what's going on. That'd be cool. That's right up the road from here. We get you come in. We could go to the WEG, baby.
Oh, my gosh. I'm in. Let's do it.
All right, but now you're out in California. You're not in North Carolina. So what happened your first 2 days?
Oh, my gosh, I'm far away from that for sure. Gosh, this is such a cool program that they have here. Yesterday, we all practiced join up and learned kind of how to do it correctly. You know, I've always thought, oh, I can do join up with a horse. You know, you
stand
it in there
and wait for the horse to come over and you pet his head.
Sort of. You run them around first, though, Glenn.
Okay.
And you look for those communication signs, but it's very scientific, actually, and it's very detailed to get it done the right way. Like, if your horse ever didn't follow you, it's probably because you didn't do it right. And when people say, oh, it's just a fluke they follow you around, oh, my gosh, every single person in this class was able to accomplish it with a completely different horse. And our listener, Kimberly, was so excited because she got to do join up with a Frisian.
Oh, cool.
And, oh, God, it's the most beautiful horse I've ever seen. Oh, he's so spectacular. So it was really, really fun. We got some great pictures. And then I got my join up was with Thor. He's like, go get one of your own horses. So he said, have you ever done join up? And I said, I did it once last year when I was here. And I cried after it because it didn't go so well and you yelled at me. So I was able to go get Thor, and I actually did it right because we walked the kind of the pattern and it was described in detail a lot better than last time. So I didn't cry and it actually worked, and I was very thrilled about the whole thing. So all of us got to do that. But I've seen horses now that won't stand for the farrier. You know, very a common problem for people. And actually Thor, my farrier, complained about him last time too. So he's going to learn this little technique. And so just from fixing the common problem of a horse that won't stand for the farrier, the pony that wouldn't lead, we had one horse that was completely unstarted that we watched Monty even twice. We've seen him work. We saw him do just the join up in the 30 minutes and then kind of the second day of the rider getting on him. Really, really neat. Then there's an untouched colt that basically was wild, but was not a Mustang per se. This rescue group, somebody, he was on somebody's farm or something. Somebody captured him and sent him to this rescue with his mother. And so he is uncut and he is untouched. And watching the girls work with him, you know, we didn't get involved in that. We got to just sit back and watch the gentling pin and work going on with him. And day two, they've got a halter on him. I just walk right up to him, put a halter on. So it's really, really cool. And then we had a horse that, this horse, when it was sent here, was a very fancy dressage horse, except for the fact that it put two people in the hospital and caused a lot of problems. But when they said that they couldn't get on it, it took four people to mount this horse. And one person at the head, one person on the offside, one person on the two, and two people on the near side, and then the person that was going to get on. So four people to like wrestle this horse to hold it still enough, long enough for the rider to get on. This is a fancy $1 million dressage horse. Mm. Out of control. Ended up coming here because it basically like broke the back of its trainer. I mean, just really bad. We watched it yesterday. They brought the mounting block into the inside middle of the round pin, and there was a lead line on it, like a long lunge line type thing. And the horse is standing at the far side. And basically, you remember what I taught Thor? Yeah, they clucked to this uncontrollable monster who would kill people, and he walked side passed all the way up to the mounting block and stood still. And then he's like, well, you know, I've never tried this. They brought him, took him back out to the rail, unclipped him. The horse side passes all the way up. No halter, no nothing. The guy hops on. It was amazing. It's amazing. So the training that I'm getting to see is incredible. And it's so many different aspects. You know, it was on Monday, though. You'll love this, Glenn. It's on Monday that we go to the gentling pin and we get halfway down there. And Monty's like, in about 10 minutes, go get tacked up. But we're in the middle of our class day. What do you go get tacked up? Who do you want? I don't care. Okay, so I'd already ridden Thor, so I just tacked up Zeus and met everybody down at the arena. And I've had moments like this in life where you're all of a sudden riding a horse in front of a lot of people and you forget how to ride. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You don't put your heels down. You don't know what outside rein and inside rein is. It's a mess. So I rode around for a minute before Betty showed up and the entire class shows up. Monty's there and then the person... There's a lot of people standing there. And Monty's like, okay, well, and so I explain, yeah, he did a horse trial, but he's still very, very green. I've only really been riding him for about 2 months, you know, da, da, blah, blah. Okay, go, whatever. He always just tries to shut me up. Whatever. Go.
Because so being a radio show host, you want to explain everything.
Well, being a horse chick, you want to explain everything. I'm the radio show, but yeah, you want to just kind of give backstory. I'm a backstory kind of girl. Whatever, just go ride. Go do what you do. So I go out and ride, and there's a large group of people standing there. And Zeus was pretty good. He does kind of, when you ask for the left lead, and he did it in the dressage test, actually, he kicks out. So that was the only really big explosion that he had. Otherwise, you know, we just walked Rock Canter in circles, basically. That's all he knows. And Monty's really quiet.
No, no.
The whole crew in the corner of the arena is really quiet. And I'm like,
if Monty's not talking, they're not talking.
If Monty's not talking, something's wrong. And I keep going by, like, waiting for him to say something. And I put him through his little paces, walked around Canter both directions, ho, you know, back up, all that kind of stuff. And I ride over to Monty. He goes, okay. And he leaves. Everybody leaves. Like, oh my God, I'm in trouble. What just happened? What happened? And I didn't hear anything. And nobody said anything. And they all just walk off. I mean, some people are like, oh, good job. I can't believe you did Monty, blah, blah, blah. You know, nice comments. And then everybody left. And I never heard nothing from Monty.
You're sitting there on your horse wondering what to do next.
Yes. I'm like, where are we going? He's like, okay, I bring it back to the classroom. I totally feel like a jerk.
Do,
like,
I need Zeus so long in the classroom?
Yeah, right. Feel weird about this whole thing. And so everybody leaves, and later on, and he never says a word to me. He said, tomorrow we'll get out, we'll work on getting him to move off the leg. Okay, that's it. Like, nothing, you know, because last year it was like he stood in the middle of the arena and gave me a lesson because I was flailing and needed a lot of help. And apparently later on I said, okay, what was he saying to you guys? Well, I feel like I didn't do anything right. And one of the girls says, well, he turned to us and he goes, I don't even have anything to say to her. She's doing everything right.
Woo! There's always a first, Jamie.
I know. He said that. I didn't hear it. He didn't say it to me. But by God, somebody said he said it. And that's good
enough. Hearsay is good in this case.
That is good enough for me. Secondhand compliments I'll take. So that was very exciting. And you know, we did work on getting him to move off the leg. He's got this little, you know, sponge on a stick, basically, and you put it in their flank and you get him to just move off pressure. And it's super easy. And I don't know why I never thought of it. That's kind of what a lot of the stuff is. I don't know why I never thought of that. But that was my lesson with Zeus. Now, I do want to ride Thor. I want to show him all the things that I've done with Thor since the bolting last year, because all he saw was this bolting nightmare. And now Thor, like, does dressage, but I haven't ridden him in so long. He's kind of being a little nutty. So I don't want Monty to see Thor until, like, at least Saturday. So I get, like, 5 or 6.
He needs a refresher.
And when you ride Thor, you take him out early in the morning, see before Monty's up, and take him.
Yep. Actually, I rode Thor before almost at dusk last night. I'm like, is anybody here? No? Everybody's gone? Okay. Come on, monster. Let's go. Like, I don't want to be disappointed in me and be like, what did you do to this horse? He's terrible. He's just give me a couple days before he sees him.
We all have so much confidence. I mean, you were going in figuring, again, I'm going to get ripped a new one like I always do. And look at that. Look at that. How special for you.
I know. It was so cool. It was so wonderful. It's way better than that's not a pony. That's a bulldozer.
That's funny. Are my deer still there?
Yes. Your deer are still
here. Your
deer? My deer. Yeah. I've adopted them now.
They're not Monty's. They're Glenn's.
They're my deer. I sat with those deer. They still hang out in this front yard?
Yeah, and it's super fun that when I went around the track, they have a racetrack, and there's a big green infield
of
grass.
It's a really nice track, yeah.
And there's some racehorses in training here, so they go out really early in the morning. And so post that, actually Monday evening, I hopped on Zeus, Thor, and Pony Zeus, and I'm like, well, let's just go for a walk because we go out to the track. Do you know what it's like to be riding a Mustang, ponying another Mustang, and flush deer? Oh, my God.
Mustangs just love deer.
And then my dog is with me, Zinni, and she typically could chase something like that, and she's like, and she runs forward, and one of them turns around and looks at her, and she's like, it runs all the way back behind me and hides behind the horses, who also are going crazy. So it was, it's desensitized.
Deer said, oh, no, you didn't.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm Monty's deer. I can take you, dog.
Yep. We are safe here. This is our house. That's
right. They are pretty, though. They're really pretty.
They're beautiful. It's just, it's very unsettling when all of a sudden one pops out.
Especially when they bolt out from the woods. That's always good.
Yeah. They see you for miles. You don't see them until they spook you.
And they probably laugh about it. Do you think they take wagers? I can get this one off.
Probably. Hey, Bill, $5 says I get that one off, okay? An ear of corn for me, okay? All right, you go.
I think that's what they do. I really do.
All right, George, let's see what you got.
Well, while Jennifer is getting our first guest lined up, I do want to talk a little bit about Ovation Riding. Have you brought your Ovation helmets out with you?
Oh, my gosh, of course. One of the rules here is you don't get in the round pin without your helmet on. So I'm carrying it everywhere I go just in case you get the call. Hey, come on down. All right, I got my helmet. So you run down and you put it on. Now, of course, I wear mine when I ride too. So basically that thing is glued to my head and I really need a new one. You know, the strap is kind of frayed and old, and Debbie has Amazon and free 2-day shipping. So I'm going to order one after the show and get a new one because I really love mine, but it's time for a new one. You know, I fell off. I didn't fall off Thor. Thor and I fell together in this helmet. And while it wasn't dinged up too bad, I feel like it's time for a new one with the chin strap kind of frayed. And
I'd be buying a new one about every 2 months if I lived in 120 degrees every day.
Ugh. Yeah. So it's time. So after the show, I'm going to get myself a brand new one. And, you know, Debbie's like, do you know what you want? I'm like, yeah, of course. I know exactly what I want. I buy the same one. This is like my fourth one.
Which model do you get of the Ovation?
So it's not the Schooler. You just put me on the spot.
I did. Yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So it's the one that has the
lines. They have a bunch of different models. And,
yeah, it's not the Schooler one. Let me Amazon it right now.
Yeah, they have the Ovation. You get one of that's probably the Protege.
Nope, no? It's not that one.
And you then they have the Schooler.
Is it the Sync?
Yes.
Okay, yep.
Yes, Ovation Sync helmet, and I like the blue and black. Thank you, Jennifer. So they've got the Schooler, they've got the Protege, they've got the Competitor, they've got the metallic Proteges are really cool too. The Sync helmet. So there's plenty of different helmets.
They're all affordable too. You're buying one of their more expensive ones and it's $80.
No, I'm sorry, Glenn. It's super. The Schooler helmets are only like $50. Yeah, this one is $62.
Oh, okay.
So
going crazy. You're spending a lot of money on that helmet.
And you look at helmets now and you go I went to one of the websites to try to find the helmets, and oh my gosh, they're charging $200 to $300 for helmets. Yep. It's insane. Like the Ovation Glitz. Doesn't that sound expensive? It's $96.
Yep. And that's a pretty cool helmet, actually. I saw that.
It's amazing looking. But yeah, I mean, you can't. And these are all certified, and they will all protect your head. You know, they've got the Ovation Extreme, which you think that's got to be safer. It's $74.
Now, you are in California, so while you're ordering your helmet, you should order one of the Helmet Zox kind of hippie prints to put over your helmet. It's a helmet cover. But they have all kinds of
hippie
prints.
Oh, it's an Ovation sock. I just see that on their website.
Yes. You should get one of those. You are in California, so a little hippie goes a long way.
I need like a tie-dye one or a
tie-dye one. Yeah, they have a bunch of flowers, you know, all depends on your mood. You could have one for every day of the week while you're at Monty's. And I'm sure Monty would love these.
Any lightning bolts?
Monty would absolutely love these. Right?
I need a lightning bolt. Good call, Jen.
Let's see. Show up in one of these tie-dyed ones and see what Monty has to say.
Damn hippie, get out of here.
That's funny. Well, you can find all of the products, including all of their breeches and jodhpurs and show coats and socks and stock ties. They
there
have everything.
Are tie-dye ones.
I told you that. They're tie-dye ones. They're actually
There's
pretty
a
cool
pink
looking.
Camo one.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there are. I didn't realize they even carried these till I looked the other day. And they're right priced, too. They're like probably like $17 or something. So, yeah, check those out. They're really cool. The Helmet Zox are really cool. Well, and you can find all of their products at ovationriding.com. They also have a place on there where to buy. You can buy them directly from their website. Actually, I don't think you can buy them directly from their website, but you can go. And they have tack shops all over the place that carry their products, plus online, and you can search there on their website at ovationriding.com. And now it's time for our horse health segment of the week.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
And it is time for the Haggard Horse Health Report, and we have with us today Dr. Barrett. Hey, Dr. Barrett, welcome back.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. So happy to have you along today. Jamie's excited about this because she's going to be having a weanling soon.
I know.
Oh, really?
My baby is due. I'm pregnant. and my baby is due January 15th. So,
You're not here to talk about human babies.
Thank God. I'm definitely not having one of those. Not again.
We got it wrong. We're talking to the wrong doctor.
No, I did my time, Glenn. I did my time. We've got Dr. Barrett. She is a sport horse vet and surgeon for Haggard's. And we have some listener questions for you, Dr. Barrett. And they all revolve around babies. So if you're a sport horse vet and surgeon, are you also, because you're in Kentucky by osmosis, a baby expert?
I try not to use the word expert for anything because horses are really good at making anybody look pretty silly at times. But I do see a lot of babies in Kentucky.
I'm sure you do. And osmosis is a joke too, because you've probably been to more school than 10 of us put together. So the listener question that we have is, I just got a weanling colt, and now I am a bit panicked by all the different things that can go wrong with these little guys. Well, at least yours is born already. Dear God, try to figure out what's wrong with it before. What is an OCD? Is it the same thing as epiphysitis? Let's start with that, because she has like 400 questions. So let's start with that. Yeah. What is an OCD? Yeah.
So OCD is short for osteochondrosis desiccans, which is part of a complex, the OC complex, or just osteochondrosis. And all that means is that there's some sort of defect or abnormal cartilage development in a joint. When it becomes an OCD, there's actually a little fragment of cartilage that comes off, or that's mostly separated from the rest of the cartilage bed in the joint. Which is very different from a physitis or epiphysitis, which is actually outside of the joint. And the physis is the part of any bone where the growth, like where a bone becomes longer, is at the physis. And so if a horse gets a bit of a physitis, it's just an inflammation in that growth plate. And if you have inflammation more on one side than the other, then the horse can kind of get an angular limb deformity. Their leg can get a bit crooked. They can also just get a bit sore. Kind of the poster child for that is a really heavy quarter horse baby that's like a halter horse, and they are really heavily muscled, and they'll get just big physis all around. So it kind of is not very pretty to look at, but doesn't necessarily affect their growth on one side or the other.
Okay, so
the OCD itself is in a joint, and it involves cartilage, and the physis is outside of the joint, but involves kind of the growth of the leg, if that makes sense.
That does. And sorry, I pronounced it wrong. So the OCD is a piece of cartilage, not a piece of bone, like I thought. And so how do you get one? And then how does a horse get one? And then how do you prevent that? Is it dietary? Is it management? Or is it just genetic?
Yeah, I think it's like what causes colic. I would be a millionaire if I knew. there's a bunch of different theories. So, you know, I guess like one half of the thought process is that the horse is just born with it. Doesn't matter what you do. They've actually looked at some embryos, you know, that didn't make it to full term and have seen changes in their cartilage and in the bone that makes the cartilage. That would imply that that horse was going to go on and have an OCD when it was born and later on in life. And then there's also the other half of the spectrum that thinks it's mostly management issues. So, you know, overfeeding, traumatic incidents that happen, kind of working too hard too early, and things like that. So either it's a genetic or a, you know, a way they're raised, when I think it probably falls somewhere kind of in the middle of the spectrum. So maybe some horses are predisposed to have them, and then depending on how we manage them, they're more or less likely to actually manifest.
Man, there are so many things I can do to screw up this child. Just like the human one I have. So the
I think it's the best medication you can have is probably just a glass of wine, and just the horse will do what it's going to do no matter what.
Good point. So the OCD, does it cause lameness? Is it something that can be, if it does cause lameness and limit performance, is it something that can be surgically removed?
Yep. So there's kind of different ways that they will show up really commonly. So it could be that you just notice, hey, my weanling has a really big stifle. What's going on there? And so we go and x-ray it, and maybe it's not causing lameness, but it's causing a fusion in the joint. And then we'll see the OCD that way. The other really common way you see it is that it doesn't necessarily get big until you start working, you know, and start training and riding a little bit. And then the stifle joint gets big, and we x-ray it and see a fragment in there then. And yes, it can definitely cause lameness. And it can also just cause inflammation in the joint that can lead to arthritis and things like that later on in life. So maybe
so
it's a problem when they're really young, when you first see it, but maybe later on.
So if you see it when they're young as weanlings, do you recommend surgery then, or do you say wait?
No, we usually wait until they're a little bit more mature. Some OCDs, depending on which joint it is, you know, like sometimes if you x-ray a stifle on a weanling, it looks terrible. But by the time they're a year old, they've still laid down more cartilage and sort of healed those lesions.
Okay.
So honestly, you would typically recommend, you know, say in our racehorses until they're about yearling age or in a riding horse, you could even wait a little bit longer. One, so the joint's a little bit bigger to make it easier to do the surgery. And so the horse is just a little bit more mature.
So you've got this baby, and you know, like I would imagine when I have my baby, I am going to be so excited to train it and teach it things, but I probably should wait. And how long, when do you start lunging or doing round pin work or line driving or any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I think babies don't need any sort of forced exercise, you know, in the first, up until they're weaning. So that's kind of 4 to 6 months of age. And even then, they don't need, you know, you can work with them and work with them on the ground, you know, teach them to halter and lead and pick up their feet and do everything like that. But lunging and things like that, you know, the physis, it's kind of a good thing to go by, their long bones, and they're growing. That doesn't, kind of the major ones don't really close until kind of between 2 and 3 years old. And so I don't think a horse needs to be doing, you know, necessarily really hard work until then. But certainly, you know, depending on the build of the horse, the muscle of the horse, the footing and everything like that, they can start doing basic stuff before then. You know, obviously racehorses and things like that are bred to mature a little bit faster, and they obviously start doing work, you know, sooner. But most riding horses and things like that aren't bred to be, you know, mature and be doing that sort of work until a little bit later on in life. So I like to use that kind of as a rule.
Yeah, just take out the whole racehorse aspect of these questions right now, because I don't think anybody listening is raising up racehorses. So yeah. I'm
to be honest, sort of, and lunging is hard on a horse at any age.
Yes,
you know, so that would be probably my least favorite thing to do with a horse anyway.
Absolutely,
you know, a horse can be backed and you know, be walking around and things like that at even a younger age. It's more kind of repetitive work like that can be tough on them.
So you're not a fan of lunging?
No, I'm not a fan of lunging. That's unless okay. I'm doing a lameness exam.
Which probably came from them lunging it. So what about getting backing the horses and getting weight on them? Is there a certain time that, is there a certain weight? Is there a table or a chart that you use, or is it just don't get on them until they're 2 or 3 years old?
Some people will certainly back a horse, you know, and get them used to it earlier than that. You know, some of these warm bloods are huge, you know, they're big and you need to work with them and have them comfortable with it, you know, at a yearling age or well before they get to the size they'd be at 2, so that it's safe. It's, I guess, you know, it's kind of a common sense thing. You know, if you look at the horse and it's a you know, tiny little Arabian that's not kind of fully developed yet, then no, they don't need to be carrying weight around. But to be doing kind of repetitive, you know, regular 4 to 5 days a week work, that can certainly wait till after those growth plates close at sort of 2 to 3.
Gotcha.
But
so
no, I think it's fine. Yeah. You know, training a horse, everyone does a little bit differently, but kind of getting on and backing them and just doing light work around, you know, a couple days a week, that's not a big deal earlier than that. But being in a regular training program, I don't think needs to happen until they're a little bit older.
So a question about something, because I'm curious about this, imprinting. I know that some thoroughbred farms in Kentucky do imprinting and some don't. And what I'm talking about when I say imprinting is when the baby's born, there was a veterinarian who just developed this way of like getting the horses desensitized to everything. And right when they're born, you know, he bangs on their feet and he puts his fingers in their ears and touches everywhere. What is your opinion on that?
I don't have a professional opinion on that.
Of course not.
I think that I'm very politically correct. I think that everyone, you know, there are people that are much better at training than horses than I am. Like if you met my horse and my dog, they are the worst behaved animals in the world. I don't think that veterinarians are necessarily the best people at, or at least me. I'm not the best at training a horse, but I certainly appreciate a well trained horse when I go to work on it. And I think, you know, I've seen horses that are imprinted like that are great and easy to work with. And I've seen horses that are not necessarily imprinted like that, but are consistently handled every day in a way that, you know, encourages good behaviors and doesn't allow bad behaviors to kind of be set in stone. And those horses are just as easy and good to work with than ones that are imprinted. I'm
gotcha.
A very hands-off person when the foal is first born. I guess to make sure that the mother kind of connects to it well and everything else, you know, once I know that the foal is healthy, I'd like them to just have their bonding time.
Now I have one question here along the weanling line and having had a couple babies over the years, is there any, you know how you always say you should know your horse so that when you see something's a little bit off, And, you know, weanlings are constantly doing things that seem to be a little bit off. So so is there something, are there little key points that as a horse, a new horse owner of your first baby, that you should be looking for to see if there might be something wrong? What do you, obviously, lethargy, being lethargic, is one of those because they're hardly ever that. What are those other things you look for as a horse owner when you're just watching them in the field and things like that, and you go, okay, there's something goofy here?
Good question.
I guess it depends on if they're alone or if they're with a herd. You know, obviously, if they're kind of with a group of animals, if they're off to the side or on their own, not kind of staying up with the group, that's kind of a sign that there's something going on. And honestly, it's just the same things that you would notice with even an adult horse. You know, if they're not finishing their feed, you know, most horses at that age, that's when they get into kind of their routine that they're going to follow. So, you know, they know when they're going to eat their feed, kind of know how many pallets of manure they would normally pass in a day and things like that. In terms of, you know, just those growth problems wise, that's where I would get used to kind of just running your hands over their legs. And that's when you're going to notice if, say, a stifle kind of pops up and gets big, or if a physis, you know, kind of the little bumps they have above their knee, if those get prominent or painful or things like that.
I have a really dumb question. Do their temperatures tend to run about the same as horses, or are they a little different when they're babies?
Yeah, no, they're the same.
Same.
So kind of you don't like to see, well, a very newborn foal, they can run a little bit higher, about half a degree higher. So I don't start to get super worried until they're 102.5 or above. Okay. But a weanling or anything like that, if they're above 102, then that bothers me.
Okay.
And the heart rate and respiratory rate, are they similar to adult horses or different?
No, it's the same. Now, if they're not well handled, then oftentimes their heart rate will be a little bit higher than an adult horse who's used to being handled, so wouldn't get stressed out by it.
Now we have an Arabian farm next door here, and they breed Arabians, and they have a brand new little Arabian baby I was watching yesterday. And it was so funny watching this Arabian baby because he was running around and kicking and carrying on and bucking. And boy, mom had that look like, oh, God, I got another 6 months of this. She just had that look.
And certainly those newborn foals, their heart rate and respiratory rate runs a little bit higher than a weanling or an adult.
This one's adrenaline was running too, because it was all over the place. It was just having the best time. Those, I'm out and I am free.
How funny.
So cute.
That's always the best time to watch.
As always, it is awesome to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on, and we so appreciate Haggard's for sending such intelligent veterinarians onto our show to educate and inform us. We really appreciate it. And Dr. Barrett, we wish you, thank you very much for coming on, and we hope you have a great day and you save a bunch of lives.
Thank you.
Or you're bored.
Hoping.
That'd be good
to talk
too.
With you.
Yeah, we hope you're bored all day and have nothing to do. That's even better. Thank you, Dr. Barrett.
It's haggard.com for those who want to go check out their website. It's just such an amazing place. Just such an incredibly scientific and huge, and the technology there is incredible. So again, check it out at Haggard, HAGYARD.com.
We're going to hear a little bit more about them, and then we're going to play a song. And I was thinking, what would be appropriate saying you did join up yesterday? And I think Raquel Renner's I Want to Know You would be appropriate, because that's what you were doing. So we'll be back. We have movie stars. We have a guy coming up that plays war in a TV show.
And I think he was also Kevin Costner one time, the stunt double.
Well, he's been in The Patriot, Gettysburg, North and South, The Postman, Crazy Horse, Geronimo. He's been in a whole bunch of different stuff. We're going to talk to him about being in the movies and on TV. And he's also a trainer and he's a clinician. His name's Ed Dabney. And we're going to have him on right after we hear from Haggard and do a little song. We'll be right back.
Haggard Equine Medical Institute in Lexington, Kentucky and Wellington, Florida has been treating racehorses, sport horses, and beloved pasture ornaments for 140 years. With some 30 ambulatory doctors, 24-hour emergency care, full surgical suite, dedicated sport horse facility, wide range of proven therapies, and full-service pharmacy, Haggard offers everything your horse needs for the proper diagnosis and best treatment. Visit Haggard.com for more information, or you can call them at 859-255-8741. Follow Haggard Equine Medical Institute on Facebook or on Twitter at Haggard and receive health alerts and the latest information on keeping your horse healthy and happy.
With you, I wanna talk with you. I wanna see the world through your eyes. I wanna stay with you. I wanna play with you. Hear the rain fall down from your skies. Don't be afraid to show me what you made of. What you think they mean? I wanna feel what makes your heart beat. If you take a stand that I don't understand, it's okay if it's confusing to me. Uncomplicated is so overrated. Love is not just something you do. Talk with you. I want to see the world through your eyes.
And that's Raquel Renner with I Want to Know You. You can find all of her music at RaquelRenner.com. That's RaquelRenner.com. I have an important announcement for tomorrow here on Horses in the Morning. We're excited to announce that we are going to be doing our first Draft Horse episode. This is brought to you by the Draft Horse Journal and is sponsored by the Clydesdale Breeders Association of the United States. So tomorrow's our first day. My co-host is going to be Lisa Graham, and she is one of the top announcers in the draft horse world. She is sort of the John Kyle of the draft horse world, and she announces at 120 shows a year. I don't know how she has time to even co-host with me, but she knows everybody. I mean, she just knows everybody and everything about draft horses. Her family's been in it, and we're really excited about this because we're working with the Draft Horse Journal, which is the premier magazine for the draft horse world, and Lynn over there, just, again, he knows everybody, and I'm thrilled because I'm a draft horse guy. I own Percherons. And Jennifer's a little concerned that this is Jennifer's really concerned, actually, Jamie, that this is going to, you know, have me, well, just going to say she's concerned I'm going to want to scratch the itch after this show.
I know what you mean. Yeah, I know what you mean. So, maybe this show, Jennifer, will be the itch that he's scratching. You know, maybe that's the scratch.
Well, at least I get to talk about draft horses, right? Because they're so cool. And we're going to be talking a little bit about everything, about competition world, about, you know, people are competing in so many different ways with draft horses now, but also about just draft horse ownership and everything that goes along with that. So I'm so excited that they've come on board, and we're going to be doing that. Well, the Draft Horse Show will be the first Thursday of every month now, and which means that we have moved the Australian episode back to Saturday. So Saturday we'll be doing the Australian episode. We'll be putting that out. Now, remember, our special weekend episodes on Horses in the Morning are not live. They're just put out on the feed, so you can listen to them at your leisure. They tend to be a little shorter in length, only about an hour, and we're going to have more of those coming up, too, on different topics from different magazines. The Plaid Horse has come on board, and they're going to be doing a weekend episode. So lots of cool things going on here at Horses in the Morning, and one of those cool things starts tomorrow, so tune in. We'll be happy to have you along. Well, I'm so excited that Equiderma has helped us set up some tremendous guest spots. And, of course, Equiderma products are ones that we use here at the Horse Radio Network and with our horses here. And we're just so excited that they've helped us get some really cool guests on the line. And one of those cool guests is Ed Dabney. Now, Ed, we're gonna be talking to him a little bit about training and things, but, you know, we talk a lot about movies and TV shows here on the Horses in the Morning show more than we probably should. And I'm going to geek out a little bit. Ed, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Ed, we mentioned earlier that you've done some fun things in TV and the movies. One of the most recent ones in a show I watch is you've played war. Now, not too many people have ever played war. You played war on the Sleepy Hollow show and rode around with a flaming sword. I just got to tell you, I love the fact that I know somebody that was on Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, great. Well, it's a lot of fun. It's a great show, and we have a lot of fun providing the horses and riders for it. And yeah, I was the character War. He's the second horseman of the apocalypse. So the show, the second season, was sort of based around the four horsemen and like that. It has a lot of twists and turns. To the show.
I almost need cliff notes to follow that show.
You really
have to pay attention to follow that show. Did you provide all the horses for Sleepy Hollow for the TV show?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, cool.
For seasons 2 and 3, and we're starting in a few weeks on filming season 4.
Now,
it'll start in January.
I'm not familiar with the show per se. I haven't seen this show yet, but I'm seeing a picture right now, and you are carrying a flaming sword, and you've got some armor on. I want to know how you find horses with fire in their eyeballs. Like, how does one find one of those?
Yeah, that's a real special training there.
You're amazing.
It's contacts. Good contacts.
Yeah, right.
Incredible talent.
Yeah.
That's funny.
The magic of computer graphics.
Yeah, because if you notice it, and you can't see that in the picture you're seeing there, but the other thing is his arms do not connect to his body. Which is amazing, Ed, that you can do that. And that's true. There's a gap between his shoulder and his arm in the TV show, and I don't know how you do that, Ed. But
no, that's really sweet that they employ handicapped people to be apocalyptic killers. It's really awesome.
Well, they wanted it to look like just the empty suit of armor was riding the horse.
Yeah,
so they erase all of me, of course, in post-production out of it. So I'm there, but I'm not there.
Yeah, that's how I would look best on TV, too, is totally erased. So
you don't have to worry about makeup that way, right?
right.
So tell me, where do they film Sleepy Hollow?
Season 1 and 2, they filmed in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
And then season 3... they moved the whole production company to Conyers, Georgia, and so that's where we are now, which is great because it's about 20 minutes from our facility, here. So it's, we were having to truck 8 hours to Wilmington every week, and now we drive 20 minutes down the road to get to the studio.
Where is your farm? I'm from Georgia and rode in Conyers and for a long time. Where's your place?
We're just east of Covington, off I-20.
Gotcha. Oh my gosh, how cool. Are you a Georgia boy?
No, originally from Tennessee, but then lived in Wyoming for a long time and worked for a lot of big ranches out there, training and cow work. And then I was an outfitter and took people on week-long horseback trips up in the mountains near Yellowstone.
So okay.
It was a great place out there.
Then let me say, you went from Wyoming to Covington, Georgia. Like, I've been to Covington, honey. I know what's out there. It is nothing like Wyoming and Yellowstone.
Well, yeah, I got tired of being cold all the time. You know, I figured there was someplace warmer in the world where I could train horses, and so I kind of swapped the Wyoming winters for the Georgia summers.
Well, now that the movie industry has moved to Atlanta, pretty much,
yeah,
really, you're golden right now.
Oh yeah, it's really booming, the movie industry here in Georgia.
So Ed Dabney wakes up one morning and goes, yeah, I can't take this cold anymore. What is 100,000,000% completely opposite from Wyoming? Rural Georgia,
right,
baby. I'm going to Covington.
Yeah.
Well, now
that's about the way it happened.
Yep.
You've been it's interesting too. I was always wondering where they filmed Sleepy Hollow, because Sleepy Hollow is supposed to be New York, but the topography where you are now is a lot like it would be in upstate New York. So I can see that.
It is now. It's kind of funny, when they were filming in Wilmington, some of the scenes have Spanish moss in the trees, which they don't have in upstate New York.
I didn't notice that. I missed that.
Maybe people didn't notice, so that's good.
So now let me ask you, too. You've been in a lot of other movies, and I love the fact that in The Patriot, you played both sides. You were kind of a traitor, weren't you?
Well, right. I'll do anything for pay. You know, so. Yeah, they had the same horsemen, the same cavalry playing both sides. So in some scenes, it looks like we're attacking each other, attacking ourselves. You know, because they film one side in this uniform, film the other side of the field in the other uniform, and put them all together.
Is that really how they did it? Well, you know, horses are expensive and a pain on a set.
Yeah.
So
so look for the little buckskin on the south side and the buckskin on the north side. It's the same damn horse. Now, I saw that you were in The Postman. Were you Kevin Costner's stunt double by any chance?
No, unfortunately.
Oh.
I would like to have been. No, I was one of the bad guys in that. Which is kind of fun every now and then to play a bad guy, you know, and
well, you can't get
stuff.
Any much worse than war. I mean, how
well,
much worse can
true.
You get as a bad guy?
The ultimate bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, one of the riders of the apocalypse. Yeah. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Now, to get off your movies just for a second, you are also a clinician and a trainer, and I've seen some of your YouTube videos. And tell us a little bit about your training philosophy.
I really try to train within the nature of the horse, and I learned about a lot of that from my dad. He was we raised and trained horses and had cattle in Tennessee when I was growing up, and he always just had a nice, easy going, natural way with the horses. He didn't have a way to teach it, and couldn't actually write it down. This is what he does. You just had to kind of be around him and see what he did and all that stuff. I sort of developed his ideas and his methods of how he worked with horses into a method that I could teach to people, and so that's what I do in our clinics and lessons, and I learned also kind of added to that from being in Wyoming and watching the wild horse herds out there. We lived in Lander, Wyoming, and about 40 miles south of there, South Pass area, there were. Which is actually where the Oregon Trail and the Mormon Trail all headed west from through there, and that in that South Pass, which is a high desert area, there are several Mustang herds that roam through there, and there was a particular valley where we'd ride out and we'd sit on the rim of that canyon and with binoculars for hours and just watch the the Mustangs. It's just amazing to see the intricate social structure and communication and leadership and discipline that goes on within that herd. And I thought, you know, if we could operate like that with the horses, we'd be more understandable, more acceptable, more like a horse. And so we can kind of sort of adopt their language and work with them, you know, within their nature and their instincts, the way they understand how leadership should be and how communication should be. And so that really helped enhance the methods that I teach, is just observing how they operate with each other.
And well, Ed, I got to tell you, I'm sitting right now, I'm broadcasting live from Monty Roberts Farm in California. So you're speaking my language for sure.
Oh, good. All right. Yeah.
And owns two Mustangs.
And owns two Mustangs. Okay, well, they own me, but whatever.
Right. Well, that's good. I admire you for taking the Mustangs and giving them a home. That's great.
Well, I hope more people do it. So we're definitely kind of trying to get it out there. But so you've kind of taken the Mustangs communication system and working with wild horses, and you have a resistance-free kind of training, but you like to be consistent and have compassion and care and then work on the communication. What type of training do you do out at your place mainly?
We take horses in for training, client horses. They're sent to us from all over, and a lot of young horses that were just starting out. So we do a lot of colt starting there, and then other horses that just sort of need a restarting. Maybe they've developed some issues or problems, and I find that if we don't necessarily address the problem issue, we go back and rebuild the foundation. Because usually the problem has its root in something missing from the foundation, from the fundamental education of the horse. So rather than trying to solve a particular problem and concentrate on that, we just go back and rebuild the foundation. And once we've done that, the problem usually it doesn't exist anymore, because mm-hmm. it was a result of something, you know, one of the bricks out of the foundation was missing. And when we rebuild that, then everything's good.
So yeah, it's amazing.
We do
it's
a lot
amazing.
Of that restarting.
That's
so
wonderful.
Starting young ones and then restarting others. Yeah.
So it's funny you say that. One of the bricks in the foundation, one of the horses that Monty worked with yesterday was a horse that doesn't tie and can't touch its feet. And it was because some kids tied it to a gate, pulled the gate off the hinge. Mm-hmm. They left it there, pulled it off the hinges, and then got the gate trapped around its legs. Now you couldn't touch his legs. Now he went back to that basic foundation, like you're talking about, and worked from the ground up. And, you know, but in 15 minutes, he's picking up all four legs, like no problem. I'm banging on him. So you're right. It just takes that kind of rebuilding. And I like that analogy. Now, you are also involved with a product line called Equiderma, and I hear that we have your lovely patient wife sitting with you.
Oh, actually, she's not. I'm out of town today.
Okay.
Okay. See?
Well, that's okay. You know how you take care of those movie horses, right?
we love Equiderma. It is an amazing product. I've always wanted to use an organic. I'm really into organic and natural and everything with what I eat and what I use with the horses and all that. And I've always liked the idea of using natural products, organic products. But for like the skin fungus and those kind of things, I used a lot of natural products and none of them worked. And I thought, you know, I really want to use something natural, but it doesn't work. So I've got to turn to these chemical things to get it to work. And when found Equiderma, it works so much better even than the chemical ones, and it's all natural and organic, and it's just amazing. We've had some incredible results. I mean, really bad brain rot, skin fungus, and you put that their lotion on there and leave it, and 24 hours, it's gone. It's just incredible how fast it works and how effective it is. I work a lot with the Atlanta Mounted Police Unit here in Atlanta, and I work with their horses and their officers on riding and desensitizing to to the things that police horses have to put up with and all that. And these horses are out in the public every day. They work hard, serving the city of Atlanta. And so we want to keep them in really good shape. And they're out on pasture, and some of them had developed scratches, you know, around the fetlock, skin fungus area there.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife, Colleen, and a friend of hers went down to their stable in downtown Atlanta and spent a whole day there doing spa treatments on all the horses. And, of course, the horses just thought they were in heaven. You know, they got a day off and got all the attention, you know, and shampooed. And we used all of their Equiderma products, the shampoo, the conditioner, the sheath cleaner, the skin fungus lotion, the wound ointment is great. And we use that on ourselves. We got that in our medicine cabinet at home. And so it's, you know, it's, we use a lot of it on ourselves, on our cats and dogs and everything. But she got all those, police horses, cleaned up and looking good and treated the fungus. We've got some before and after pictures of some of the police horses, and it's just amazing. And we like dated the pictures like a week and 2 weeks, and they were so cleared up with the fungus. And some of those skin funguses are really hard to get rid of, the rain rot and the scratches.
Are you the people that have rain rot issues? It is just a nightmare. So you're right. I mean, that is one of the things that when you have a horse with rain rot, ugh.
Yeah. We had a client horse come to us for training, and when it arrived, it had little oozing, scabby sores all down the back, is on along the spine, and I could imagine how miserable that horse must have been with a saddle pad and a saddle and a rider on top of those little oozing sores. You know, that horse had to be just totally miserable, and we cleaned him up with the Equiderma, used the lotion on him, and in just a day or so, that rain rot was gone. It's unbelievable how fast it works and how effective it is. So
and we use the square back.
We love it.
My wife's horse is a thoroughbred, and he's a klutz, and he's always hurting himself with little boo-boos everywhere. And I think she's used a whole gallon of the wound ointment in about the last month. But the Equiderma wound ointment is great stuff. I mean, it really is. And the shampoo, we use the Neem shampoo all the time. That is nice stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I need the zinc oxide paste for the sunburn.
Yes, you do. She lives in Arizona. She needs a zinc oxide paste for your horses and you.
Right. We use that on our horses, you know, that have pink noses and white faces and all that. We keep that slathered on them. And then the wound ointment is handy. You know, I'll cut my finger or something, I'll slap some of that on there, and it's great.
Well, I got to tell you, too, you might not even know about this, but right now, Equiderma has, beginning August 1st, all Equiderma products are 20% off, and this is even more important, all orders placed will be entered to win a $4,000 Dream Tack Trunk. This is, and I think it's one of her employees or somebody she knows there that actually made this by hand. His name's Bryant Capone.
It's their IT guy.
IT guys are not handy.
Company.
We are not handy group. But apparently he is, and he did a great job. It's absolutely beautiful. With this $4,000 tack trunk, you're going to get a royal spa treatment of all Equiderma products, a variety set of 7 luxurious grooming brushes, embroidered quilted pad, an artisan hoof pick, and this tack trunk is absolutely beautiful. You can the way you get entered to win is any orders in the month of August will automatically be entered to win the tack trunk, and then they'll do a drawing at the end of the month. And that's if you order at Equiderma.com. Go to Equiderma.com today to place that order. So thanks to Equiderma for helping get you on the line. It's been so fun talking to you. I have a listener, and we always get this question when we have celebrities like you on. I have a listener that has sent me a message and said, well, you've got to ask him what famous celebrities he's met. So we get that question every time we have somebody who's in the movies or TV. So I have to ask.
Okay. First, let me say, I've seen that tack trunk on their website, and it is beautiful. It's amazing. And one other thing I want to say about Equiderma is that the fly spray is great. It really works. It stays on. And the main thing is I don't have to hold my breath when I'm spraying. I mean, that other stuff that's out there is toxic, you know. And I just think, wow, I'm breathing this stuff that, you know, anyway.
It's never good when you put on a product on your horse and you have to immediately go wash
your hands. Wear a gas mask.
Or just scrub up, you know, get those chemicals off your hands.
I know. Great. Well, I think the most fun that I've had meeting celebrities was on the movie Gettysburg, which was years ago. That was in, I think, 92 that we did that Turner Productions. And we were filming actually in Gettysburg, and the cavalry commander was Sam Elliott. And then Stonewall Jackson was played by Tom Berenger, and they're buddies. And when the day of filming was over, most of the big stars get in their limos and head back to the hotel. And they came over to our camp. We were camped on site with the horses, and they just wandered into our camp one of the first nights of filming and said, "Hey, you know, we'd like to just hang out with you guys." And they were so nice. The first night they said, "Look, we know everybody wants pictures and autographs. Let's just do all that tonight. We'll do all of that. Everybody that wants it, we'll do it tonight." And then the next night that we come over, we want to just be one of you guys and hang out and sit around the campfire. And that was so cool of them to do that. And then so from then on, the next 3 weeks we were there, they were hanging around with us every night. We'd sit around the campfire and tell stories, asking about, you know, what was their favorite role and that kind of thing. And then the last night of filming, we got back to camp, and there was this long iced down buffet of crab legs with a couple of kegs of beer at the end that they had provided for us, and we had a big wrap party with those guys at the end. So it's really neat.
You made my day because I'm watching the new show, The Ranch, with Sam Elliott's in that. And I always pictured Sam Elliott as being one of the down-to-earth guys, you know, not the hoity-toity guys, but one of the down-to-earth sit and have beer with you. And apparently I was right. I'm not disappointed.
No, he's a great guy, very, very good rider. And the other thing that was pretty neat about him is they gave him, he was General Buford, Union Cavalry General, that actually is the one who picked the high ground and held the high ground until the Union infantry could come up. And so he was the one actually that picked the battlefield of Gettysburg, General Buford. And so they had given him a uniform out of wardrobe. And he said, "No," he said, "this is not what General Buford wore," because he had done some independent research to find some old pictures and things. And there's some great museums in Gettysburg. He had been there and researched General Buford. And so he had a tailor make a uniform that was exactly like the one that General Buford actually wore, which was at that time the officers could have their own uniforms made that were, you know, looked like a Union uniform, but it was customized to them, and maybe it had a little different trim or a different collar or something like that. And so he did. He had a tailor actually make a recreation of General Buford's actual uniform. So that the uniform you see in the movie, if you watch it, you'll notice that it's a little bit different than a normal Army issue uniform, and that's what he had made so it would be authentic. So that attention to detail, I thought, was a really neat thing about him.
Very cool.
To have things historically correct.
We're going to have you back. We have more training and movies to talk about in the future here.
Okay. Well, it's been fun.
What's your website?
Thanks for having me on. It's eddabney.com.
eddabney.com. That's spelled D-A-B-N-E-Y. eddabney.com. Thanks, right. Ed. And thanks to Aquaderma for putting that together. Go buy something and be entered in the contest for the $4,000 tack trunk at Aquaderma.com. Take care, Ed.
You bet. Okay, thank you.
All right, we got through
it. We scratched the surface with him.
I know.
Like there's so much more to talk about.
What a cool guy. And war came to Horses in the Morning, and we survived.
Yeah. I guess I would get that joke if I'd ever seen it.
But let me
just
say,
a photo of the horse with the fiery eyeballs.
The
is
four
enough to
horses
me.
In this movie, the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, are just scary. I mean, in this TV show, they're just scary. I can't believe he does all the horse work for that. That's so cool. All right. We have a neat job. And you know what? We have a caller here that I wasn't expecting today, but I'm glad she has called because she is going to be doing her debut tomorrow. We put her through the works today, Jamie. We have Lisa Graham here with us, and she's going to be co-hosting tomorrow on the first ever Draft Horse episode. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning.
I'm glad you called because we can chat a little bit about this. You know, I'm so excited to be talking draft horses tomorrow.
She's not calling to talk draft horses. She's calling because the pre-purchase report is in and you're buying a new Belgian.
Oh, no, no. Percheron. Percheron.
Yeah, we've entered you in the show. Did you know you need to be in Wisconsin tomorrow?
Yeah. Where are you at now?
Well, I am at the Wisconsin State Fair. It kicks off tomorrow with their draft horse competition. So, and tomorrow's our, like you said, our debut. We are super excited. This is going to be one of the highlights of our industry. I mean, anytime that you can promote Gentle Giants, especially with the listeners that you have, it's just amazing. We're honored to be a part of your show.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm excited. You know me, I love draft horses. So I've always wanted to do a draft horse show for the last 8 years and never had the right partners. But boy, Lynn and the Draft Horse Journal, I think they're the right partners.
Absolutely. So just to turn the tables on you, Glenn, tell me where you and I met the first time.
We met at Percheron Congress, right?
Yeah, and you collected a blue ribbon.
No, I didn't. It was Wendy, my co-host, that did. She beat us all. But then that was not fair. And for those that haven't been around that long, Dr. Wendy and I, host of the driving radio show, were invited to go to the World Percheron Congress in Massachusetts. And we were in the celebrity driving competition where we had to drive a pair of Percherons in this ring.
You beat the heck out of Dr. Pohl, right?
Yeah, Dr. Pohl was in there. That's right. He lost, by the way. So there.
Dr. Pohl and his wife were both involved in it.
That's right. And that's right.
He told me it was going to be a long drive home if he didn't let her win. But I think she was the better horseman.
Dr. Pohl had a couple of horses that were not cooperating real well. But Wendy went in there.
Yeah.
Now, what nobody in the audience knew was that Wendy was a four-in-hand competition driver shortlisted for the WEG. So, you know, driving a pair of Percherons for her was nothing.
But there were obstacles. You know, we had cones and we had... Yeah,
I ran them all over. I know.
She didn't go in a breeze. She did. Yeah, I know. Yeah, she hit everyone. You had more penalties. Just kidding. You did excellent.
I find that if you hit everyone, that should give you extra points because that's consistency.
Right? That's right.
Consistency. Yeah, but that was pretty exciting. So that was kind of like your first time to see our big show that, and it was awesome
you
to have
what
you
my,
there. And
my most exciting part of that was, Lisa, my most exciting part of that whole time was I got to ride in one of the 8-horse hitches.
Is that not power?
Oh my God. Jamie, I'm telling you,
power?
We got on the arena. So there's 8 horses and the big wagon, like the big beer wagons you see. So it's one of the big wagons. I got to sit in the driver's seat, not drive because there's way too many reins for that. But, we go outside and get out of the ring. Of course, he trots out of the ring and he says, well, I just want to open them up here a little bit. And oh my God, we were going across the fairgrounds with 8 Percherons in front of us. That is an experience. That was so cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, I just did a show 2 nights ago. I was in Minnesota, did a show, and huge outdoor arena, and they had 15 8-horse hitches in the ring at
Whoa!
One time. Yeah, kind of unprecedented. Not a lot of shows have the capability of, you know, having that much room to have just a few, but 15 of them in the arena.
Now, your family's
crazy.
Been in drafts.
It was a good crazy.
Your family's been in drafts too, right, for years?
Right. I grew up with Percherons and then kind of made a switch to become a Clyde girl and now just kind of dedicated to all the draft breeds. I mean, I get to be known as the voice of the industry, so I don't cheer for one in particular. I cheer for everybody.
Well, very good. Well, we couldn't have a better co-host joining us, and we couldn't have better partners in the Draft Horse Journal and all the sponsors that have gotten involved in this, including the Clydesdale Breeders of the USA, who are the title sponsors.
Okay.
So I'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll learn more tomorrow, and we'll have a good time.
Good. Awesome. Thanks. You guys have a great day, and we look forward till tomorrow.
All right. You go to work now.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Thanks.
Got a good co-host in her, I think.
You're like a little kid at Christmas.
I am.
You get to sit there, talk draft horses.
Oh,
again, she's going to sell you one by the end of the week.
She used to be in Percherons, now in Clyde. I think if I wasn't going to own a Percheron again, if we ever were at the point where we could afford one, which Jennifer's saying, no! So I would have a Clydesdale. I think it's either black Percheron or Clydesdale. I've always had black Percherons, but I would do a Clydesdale.
I was just throwing Belgian in there because it was the first...
What
giant
you think
breed
of?
That popped into my head.
Well, they're the most popular draft horse, actually, are the Belgians
really?
In the United States. Yeah, Belgians are the most popular.
See, look at all the stuff I'm
learning
already.
Well, if we take halflingers out of the mix, because we got to remember, they're a draft breed.
Yeah.
So,
and double that with a pony and they're just dreamy.
Nightmare. Well, we need to let you get back to your work of the day. And what are you doing today? What's on the agenda?
The agenda today is we are going to, because I told Monty that that nightmare pony doesn't load either. I mean, and he goes, well, how'd you get him here? And I said, let me change that. He will load if there's horses in the trailer, but when he goes by himself, he won't load. He goes, okay, well, we'll have him jumping in there by himself by the end of the day. I was like, perfect. That'd be great. And then the next day, can we work on teaching him to stop? And then the next day, can we work on his herd bound behavior? And then the next day, can we work? Like, it could never end with this pony. So anything I get with him
he's going to be with the deer herd gone. He's going to find those deer herd. And he's going to say, can I join up with you, please? You know, they're teaching join up over here. I'd like to join up with you and let's get out of here.
Well, I plan on taking the two Mustangs and the pony to the beach on Sunday.
Oh, so cool.
Pony's going to the beach.
Oh, fun. Take the pony who doesn't steer and bolt or load to the beach.
But where's he going to go?
Point him in.
Where's he
going to
go? He's not going to go water. You know, if he runs anywhere, it's just going to be down the beach.
He's going to bolt out to sea and he's going to be a headline
you know
on
what?
Monday morning.
He's a
pony swims 20 miles out to sea.
He's a fat Haflinger pony. He can only go about 20 yards. He's going to be out of breath. So,
well, here's the cool thing is I have two friends that live in Northern California that also own Mustangs. And I met them at the auction for Zeus. And we've been Facebook friends. And they're like, we would love to come down and visit you. And I said, great. And so they're coming Saturday morning and then they're going to stay through Monday morning, and I'm so excited to see them. They're really, really cool girls. And they were like, we love to go ride on the beach. They go all the time with their horses. And I said, great, you can come with me. And I'll ride Thor. She's like, I don't want to ride Thor. He's too scary. So I'm like, I'll ride Thor. One of you can ride Zeus. And then the other one of you gets the pony. And they were like, oh, great. Not knowing what's coming. They're like, oh, great. We'll ride a pony. It'll be so fun. Like, I'm wringing my hands. Like,
that'll be
but
fun.
By then, he's going to be amazing. He'll be doing backflips and handsprings down the beach.
Well, and I got to tell you, you looked really good in your smooth stride jeans.
Oh, my gosh. Odd story about the smooth stride jeans.
I posted a picture of your butt, by the way.
And by the way, I did not know that photo of my butt was being taken.
Or shared with 40,000 people.
Well, there's another
Your butt
woman
looks good
here.
In those, by the way. I'm just saying.
There's a woman here named Joanna, and she listens to our shows. And she also was taking some pictures when I was doing the Join Up with Thor. And I was like, can I look at the pictures you got and maybe text myself a couple? She says, sure. And so I'm flipping through the phone. And there's another picture of my butt. And I go, what? Why do you have this is my butt. And she was like, oh, well, I was just trying to get a picture of the logo because I want to order some jeans and I wanted to remember the name. I'm like, you could have asked. Two people now have taken pictures of my butt unbeknownst to me. And I need to know if they ship to England because the three girls here from England all want these jeans.
Well, you know what? She just posted. I saw Smooth Stride just posted that they shipped their first, jeans to Australia, to our listeners in Australia. So I think, she's getting used to shipping international now.
All right, perfect. Well, she's got some business coming because everybody is blown away at they're like, there's no seams in.
Well,
in
your
the
butt
middle.
Looks good. I got to tell you. And if you want to see Jamie's good looking butt, you can go to Horses in the Morning and scroll down, and you'll see.
That's horrifying, by the way. And I log on to Facebook this morning. I'm like, oh, let's see what's going on in the world of Facebook, and I log on, I'm like, that's my ass. Why is there a picture of my butt?
And we have so much respect for each other here at the Horse Radio Network. I never asked her. I just posted it.
Somebody took it and somebody posted it, and you're both in trouble.
That's it for today, everybody. We'll be back talking draft horses tomorrow. Get your really bad ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. You get double the credit if you send in a voice ad where you just record it on your phone and send it to Jennifer. A little voicemail file. You can do that through most phones nowadays. It's pretty easy. They all have voice recorders. So send it to Jennifer. That gives you two entries into the drawing. And guess what this month is? It's the brand new Total Relief Girth. there's a brand new one out from Total Saddle Fit. These are like $150 value, and he's going to be giving one of those away to our listeners. And who can't use another terrific girth? We'll be talking more about that on Friday. But that's coming up on this Friday's show. Jamie will be doing really bad ads from all the way from Flag Is Up Farm. Now, one other thing, you need some questions, right?
Yes. So if anybody is still listening to our program this late, I need training questions for Monty. I want to do a sit down and do a listener Q&A. We're going to record it ahead of time because he's a little bit busy, but we'll record it. And I want to record your questions. Do you have a question about training? Do you have a question about anything that, you know, he would question for him about his life? Whatever you want to know from Monty Roberts, I will ask him. We may not get a good answer, but you know what? He could tell me to shut up and go away. But, ask your questions. We'll also post it on the Facebook page, or you can email me, jamie@horseradionetwork.com. And it's jamie@horseradionetwork.com. Email me your question, or we'll do a Facebook post on our Horse Radio Network page, our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and remind you that we need them. But get them in, and we will ask the expert, the real expert.
Very good. Thanks a lot, everybody. We got to run. Talk to you. Have a great day.
Spay, neuter, geld. Woohoo!